Welcome to New Zion Assembly. A New Testament digital online home church for true Israelites. Our teaching presbyter is Rick Wiles. Our preaching presbyter is Doc Burkhart. Now, let's join the online service where we worship the King of true Israel, Jesus Christ.
Well, hello, dear brethren around the world. I'm Rick Wiles. Welcome to New Zion Assembly. We are a digital online church for true Israelites around the world. Men and women of all races, ethnicities, nations, tribes, and languages. We are one in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we invite you to participate with us in the partaking of the Lord's Supper today. So please have bread and your choice of grape juice or red wine available later in this worship service. Let us begin our worship of King Jesus, the Savior of the world. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Alleluia! He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and let our minds be renewed by your word, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says about the greatest commandments in the kingdom of heaven. Number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus said this is the first and great commandment. And number two, he said the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
A reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, for ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I see the sun rise in fire, bursting through the morning haze. Warming every stone and river, turning every leaf to gaze. And I see seen the flowers or the field. They neither toil nor spin. Effortlessly clothed in splendor, heaven glows for the King. Ooh, I sing for
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? For with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." The word of the Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
I enlist.
I believe in God.
Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate.
He descended to hell.
The third day.
He arose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
Seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Kind of church.
Kind of saint.
The forgiveness of sins.
The resurrection of the body.
And the life everlasting.
Amen.
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 And now we invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join your voice, whatever it looks or sounds like,
as we declare this together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Welcome to this week's message of New Zion Assembly, a digital online New Covenant congregation for true Israelites, the body of Christ. This week we continue our sermon series called I Believe, and in this series we are introducing you to the Apostles' Creed. And over the course of this series we'll be looking at the development of the statement of faith, examining each element of the statements of the Creed, and why the Apostles' Creed is still relevant and powerful for the believer in our day and age. Would you take a moment to pray together as we share this message based on the Scriptures regarding the Apostles' Creed? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to connect with people globally, people who seek to honor you, seek to lift up your name, and seek to learn from your Word. Lord, we ask that you would anoint your Word, let it go forth, and let it go and do a work in the hearts and lives of everyone who hears this message. Lord, let us be transformed, not by what we appear to see in this world, but by what the Word of God does within our hearts. Make us part of that temple of God that you're building. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, before we begin this week's message, please read along with me and repeat the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Well, this week we continue in the Creed with the statement, I believe Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. Now, in this statement, we're laying out the following beliefs. First, that there was a real crucifixion that took place in a historical location and time. It is not a myth. Second, Jesus literally died, not spiritually, not metaphorically, and not metaphysically. Jesus was a real man with a real physical body who really died. And third, that death was so real to those that observed it and confirmed it that he was buried. There was a real burial in a real tomb. The word crux helps us understand when we need to express the importance of getting to the basis or the crux of a matter. And crux comes from the Latin word for cross. And nowhere is this more important than in discussing the death of Jesus, the salvation of the world. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The death of Jesus was a historical event, but if the death of Jesus were simply one more historical event situated among numerous others, then this determination of Paul's to emphasize that event alone would be curious and nonsensical. Why talk about this one thing when there are so many other things that have happened? The answer has to do with the radical nature of Christ's death. The word radical comes from the Latin word radix, which means root. The root principle of Christianity is the cross. That intersection at the crossroads is the cross. The foundation and cornerstone of our faith is the cross. It is therefore possible to talk about Christ and Him crucified in relationship to absolutely anything else in the world and to do so without changing the subject. It is possible to move from the death of Jesus to any subject whatever, and to do so without lurching. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's begin with the aftermath of the cross, the death of Jesus. Jesus had a true human body capable of dying. When He was nailed to the cross, He was in the process of dying. He died. He was not an apparition that seemed to die. He was not a true human being who appeared to die, fainting from torture. He was a man who could die and who, under those circumstances, did die. The phrase that He was buried underscores this fact. His death was a true death. He was dead and buried. He was buried for 3 days. The exclamation point is part of the gospel as the Apostle Paul recounts it, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose. There are 4 aspects of this momentous death which we must consider. We'll define and consider each one of them in turn. They are redemption, propitiation, co-crucifixion, and reconciliation. These are all described as happening in the cross. So first of all, redemption is the result of having been purchased or ransomed. Propitiation is the turning aside of wrath. And because of our union with Christ, co-crucifixion is how we die when Christ died. Reconciliation is the establishment of peace where before there was hostility. And the Bible describes all 4 of these as occurring in the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the blood of Jesus as a purchase price or as a ransom payment. So, with His blood, Jesus purchased men for God. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Jesus referred to His life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many." We have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Jesus died as a ransom to set us free from the sins we had committed. Hebrews 9:15 says, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for it. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Now these verses lay out the promise from the Word of God that He has redeemed us. But what is the result of that redemption? What promises do we have that show that the redemption has taken effect in our lives? He redeemed us so that we could have the blessings of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He redeemed us so that we might have forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." He redeemed us so that we could have liberation from sexual lust. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He also redeemed us to free us from slavery. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. He redeemed us so that we could sing a new song, a song of salvation. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We've talked about redemption, but there is another Bible word that describes what happened with Christ's crucifixion, death, and burial. And that word is propitiation. Now, the word propitiation carries the basic idea of appeasement or satisfaction, specifically toward God. Propitiation is a two-part act that involves the appeasing of wrath of an offended party and then being reconciled to them. So the necessity of appeasing God is something that many religions have in common. In ancient pagan religions, as well as in many religions today, the idea is taught that man appeases God by order, you know, offering various gifts or sacrifices or doing certain things. However, the Bible teaches that God himself has provided the only means through which his wrath can be appeased and that sinful man can be reconciled to him. We see in the New Testament the act of propitiation always refers to the work of God and not the sacrifices, the gifts, or the behaviors offered by men. Now, the reason for this is that man is totally incapable of satisfying God's judgment, justice, except by spending eternity in hell. There is no service, sacrifice, or gift that man can offer that will appease the holy wrath of God or satisfy his perfect justice. The only satisfaction or propitiation that could be acceptable to God and that could reconcile man to him had to be made by God. Now, for this reason, God the Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world in human flesh to be the perfect sacrifice for sin and make atonement or propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, as our high priest, Jesus made an appeasement for us before the Father. Once again, Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Because of his great love, the Father sent the Son to satisfy his wrath. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in order to be just and the one who justifies, the Father God sent Christ to be a propitiation. Romans 3:25 and 26 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We also see that Jesus' crucifixion, death, and burial satisfied the wrath of God for the whole world. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible talks about the death of Jesus as somehow accomplishing a death, a most necessary death for us. Now, we need to fully comprehend that we are not only dead in Christ, but we are also crucified with Christ. The idea of being crucified with Christ emphasizes our union with him and his death on our behalf. We trust in Christ's crucifixion as payment for our sin penalty, and we rely on his power to live in a way that pleases God. The emphasis is on what he has done for us, not what we have to do for God. Too often, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is Christ who lives in me, becomes I need to crucify my sinful desires and try to live harder for God. Well, when this becomes our perspective, we have slipped out of grace living and back into law living, and we minimize the power of Christ's death for us. We are relying less upon the power of Christ and more upon our own power, and that will never work out. So, Jesus died for us, and we die in him. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead." The Apostle Paul confesses that he was crucified together with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And we are not to boast in anything except in the cross, which crucified the world to us and us to the world. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and all its longings. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." If we have been baptized, we are baptized into Christ's death. Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And we had to die so that we might be freed from sin." Romans 6:6 and 7 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." The Bible talks about how the death of Christ effected a reconciliation between us and God. You see, the physical death of Jesus provided the reconciliation for mankind. Colossians 1:21 and 22 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses to us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Jesus became flesh to make that reconciliation. Hebrews 2:17, once again, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." The death of Jesus brought about reconciliation, but the resurrection brought about salvation. Think about that. Romans 5:10 says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Well, in our following messages, we'll continue to examine the statements of the Apostles' Creed, line by line, and verifying the power of each stanza, backed up by the inspiration of the Word of God. And my friends, I want to encourage you to make your hope and salvation sure, leaving nothing to doubt. I want you to rest in the full assurance that you are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you fully understand that your Christ, your Savior, is a King right now. Make your confession of faith in the resurrection of Christ today. Repent, turn away, run from your sin, never to take it back up again. Be baptized, fully immersed in water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Scriptures. Finally, go into all the world and tell everyone you know about the magnificent salvation that you've received. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay with us as we make preparation to participate in the Lord's Supper, the communion. Please take the next few moments to gather in your own home with your family and have the elements of bread and the fruit of the vine ready to participate in this sacrament of faith, acknowledging our Lord's death until he comes again on that final day. Let's now prepare our hearts in worship with this hymn of praise.
To you. inside of me. You're my
Let us confess the symbol of our Christian faith expressed in the ancient words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became man. And he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, and suffered and was buried, and the third day he arose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Let us pray for the universal church, the body of Christ, our Lord. Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, we humbly ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to receive our prayers and answer them according to your divine will and love. We ask that Christ Church worldwide will be one in the spirit of truth, unity, concord, and love, and grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity, peace, and godly love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead the nations of the world in the way of righteousness and guide and direct their leaders. We pray for our President Joe Biden and for Vice President Kamala Harris. We pray for President Biden's cabinet secretaries and advisors to give him wise counsel so that our nation may dwell in peace and safety. We also pray for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and for all the members of the House and Senate. We pray for our judges and courts that they will decide matters according to your righteousness and wisdom. We pray for our military officers and members of the armed services that you will protect them as they guard our nation. Furthermore, we pray for our police officers who are your ministers of justice. We pray for all of our federal, state, and local officials that you will protect them and bless them with wisdom, and that they will guide the affairs of our nations, states, counties, and cities with wisdom, humility, unity, and submission to your will expressed in your holy word, so that your church may enjoy the blessings of freedom and peace. Lord, grant that our leaders impartially administer justice, upholding integrity and truth, restrain wickedness and crime, and protect the Christian church. Lord, in your mercies, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Christ Church worldwide. Give grace to all bishops, presbyters, deacons, evangelists, and teachers, that by the godly conduct of their lives and the purity of their teaching, they may proclaim and demonstrate your true life-giving word, and rightly and duly administer the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering because they are identified with the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen them to endure the persecution. Change the hearts and minds of the men and women who are persecuting your church, or remove them from power if they refuse to repent. To all people worldwide who confess and believe on the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that all of us may hear, receive, and obey with reverent and obedient hearts your holy word and commandments, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Father, we also pray for all those who proclaim and teach the gospel of your kingdom throughout the world, that you will strengthen and encourage them to fulfill the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey your commandments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we ask in Jesus' name that in your goodness you will heal all who are sick in their body, mind, or spirit, and that you will provide abundant resources to meet the financial needs of saints who cry out to you for help, and that you will deliver all saints who are oppressed by the enemy and his agents of this world, and that you will encourage and uplift all saints throughout the world who are downcast and depressed. May they experience your joy and peace again. We pray for all unborn babies, that they will be protected in their mother's wombs. Safely keep them away from murderous abortionists, and change the hearts and minds of mothers and fathers who are contemplating aborting their unborn children. Let the babies live so that they may enjoy the life you have planned for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Jesus Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let us confess to God our sins and ask forgiveness of our transgressions against the commandments of His kingdom.
Most merciful Heavenly Father, we confess that we have sinned, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, desires not the punishment and death of sinners, but that they may turn from their wickedness and live. He wonderfully pardons and absolves all who truly repent and genuinely believe His gospel of the kingdom. We beseech our merciful Heavenly Father that to forgive and absolve our sins and transgressions against His holy commandments. We pray that He would grant His faithful saints pardon and peace, and that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve our Heavenly Father with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now hear the word of God to all who truly turn to Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with your spirit.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right, our duty, and our joy.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Now the peace of God, which passes all.
Holy, 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 Lord of God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Welcome back, and we appreciate you joining us here as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the communion. It's been several weeks since we've had the opportunity to gather together, and I have to tell you, I've missed this aspect of our fellowship together to join with you, friends, partners, fellow believers from around the world in participating in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in acknowledging the Lord's Supper, the communion. And I hope, no matter where you are in the world right now, that you are making the effort to participate with us. If you've made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized in water according to the Scriptures, you're welcome to participate in the Lord's Supper, the communion. In fact, we encourage you to do so. The Bible teaches that there were those in the early church who neglected this part of worship, either by overindulging in it in special celebrations or by not participating. We need to recognize that the Lord's Supper is an essential part of our worship to the Lord. It's as much a part of our worship on a regular basis as prayer, as it is or the preaching. All these things fit together. And so when we gather together for worship, like we are doing right now, even if it's virtual, you have the opportunity to participate in this aspect of worship, no matter where you are in the world, and to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us through his death. I'm so happy. I'm happy to be able to celebrate with you. I'm happy because Jesus Christ, I know, has redeemed me from my sins. He has saved me. He has sanctified me. I was crucified with him. I died with him, and I have been resurrected with him. And this aspect of our worship acknowledges that. It's like renewing that covenant one more time and saying, yes, I believe. Let's pray. Almighty God, in your tender mercy, you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He offered himself and made once for all time a perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted this remembrance of his passion and death, which he commanded us to continue until he comes again. And Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify with your word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we may partake of his most blessed body and blood. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed once for all upon the cross.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. This is the bread of heaven. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Drink the cup of salvation in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This sacrament is the gift of God for the people of God. Feed on him by faith with thanksgiving that Christ died for you. Everybody, please join in our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this week at New Zion Assembly. We're so glad to have you with us. Wherever you live in the world, whether it's North America or Europe, Africa, South America, Central America, the Caribbean Islands, Australia, New Zealand, there are people with us every week from all over the world. Wherever you live, we consider you family, and we're so honored and so glad that you join with us every week. You are part of our family. And I encourage you to bring new people to New Zion Assembly. Tell the people that you love who don't know Jesus Christ, tell them that you have met the Messiah and you desire them to meet him too. And then encourage them to watch New Zion and introduce them to our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you very much. We'll see you next week here at New Zion Assembly.